It's time to spark it up with the cantilinguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after going to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store gun store. Check cash and play. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the jaw. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Cantilinguist. We are talking about the 2016 presidential platforms, including marijuana, more on the raided Alaskan dispensary that we talked about last week, and then an interesting discussion on weed and entertainment. We are the Cantilinguists. I am Alex Mandelberg. With me, my co-host who is stoned most, April O'Connor, and our very cool guest today, a musician, engineer, audiophile, local musician based out of LA, and the other than a family member, the person who's known me the longest in my entire life, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Alex Schneiderman.
Meep.
Oh man, I apologize. We normally would have had a big like sound when that happened, but I forgot to reset my board so that my echo would go.
All the
so
sound boards, sound bites. You got to have those. It's like the classic radio show.
Baby steps.
Podcast. Baby steps. We're stepping ourselves into
we're
it.
We're going to get a guy for that. You know, he's like, you had one job.
All you had to do was put the echo on in one moment. That's all you had to do.
It's like the triangle in an orchestra.
It's the easiest to do, but if you fuck it up, you'll just ruin the whole show. Whole show is ruined all because of you. Gosh darn it.
One job.
April's. I think April's just decided she's going to spend this entire episode as our MIDI pad.
Yeah,
we need it. We need someone to do that. You know,
it's worth doing.
I couldn't think of a better person to make all the sound effects for the. I'd actually also like to hear you say some words about the topics at hand.
It would really help considering she's way more educated in the subject than myself. She's usually the expert. I'm usually the guy who's like, "Huh, is that what's really going on out here?" Well, that's certainly interesting.
Isn't that special?
There's usually a lot of she actually had a doctor. She brought a doctor in one week, and I got made a fool of by how little I knew, I think, that week. It was the two of them talking a lot of words that were more than four syllables.
You have to go to college for like 8 years to do that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Is that what that must be, you what know, that's about?
A really rigorous 3 years.
Yeah, or
years.
Just, you know, have smart people around you and you sure. just pick up on the lingo.
Have them repeat the words enough that you start picking things up. I guess that's what it's about.
Decarboxylize.
That's how I learned Spanish.
Yeah, that's right. So the first subject that we got going up, the 2016 presidential platform, including marijuana, the reason why this was kind of an interesting thing to talk about was don't worry. It's just the headphones jamming up. They'll come back eventually.
I'm used to this sort of thing. Are we linked together, actually?
We're all linked into one box.
That go out for you, too? Weird.
It went out for me, too. No,
don't worry. Audiophile. Present. I'll take care of any issues that happen with.
Oh, man. I'm most excited because this is our first musician that we get to have in to talk about things. Yeah, you're our first musical guest.
Wow.
It's kind of a cool thing.
First musical guest, and it's your first podcast.
So my first song.
And your first. You brought your guitar, right, man? We're just, that would be awesome. No, so the 2016 presidential campaign, marijuana will be a platform. It's going to be a discussion. It's going to be something that every candidate actually has to have an opinion on. Here's the thing. We always knew the Democrats were willing to talk about it, but what was kind of the big turning stone was all of a sudden you had candidates at CPAC, which is the big conservative Republican committee. Not Republican. They call themselves conservatives. But their candidates were asking for questions on marijuana. They said, we want to talk about this. And the interesting thing is a lot of them are seeing revenue for the state and deciding to be for it. So
I told you the Republicans are going to be the first. I told you the Republicans are the ones that are going to push it through because they see green. And I mean, not the kind of green you smoke.
That's a really good point.
The kind that, the envious kind that,
If nothing else, it's for personal
Put in your money clip.
personal profit in a way, and you know, to use something that those can take the benefits of something for the people what they like to do, and they're told they can't do something.
Yeah.
As soon as they're told that they can't do something, I mean, we feel pressure from those people.
Well, that was the interesting thing, where a lot of the Republicans now are starting to approach this from the angle of instead of it being like, oh, it's against God, like that used to be the big old argument that it was a sin. And now it's switched to, don't impede my freedoms as an American telling me I can't do something. And now included in telling me I can't do something is becoming smoking weed, which is why you have some southern states who are leapfrogging medicinal and going right from it being illegal to full recreational legalization.
Yeah, what Georgia's looking into possible full recreation, but Tennessee's about to pass a bill. There's a lot of, you know, deep south Bible Belt states that are totally down for medicinal because, hey, if you have a sick kid and you want, you know, even some of these states are just going to do the hemp oil for people that are sick. I mean, that's a huge step, and they can see that there's benefits. And if you are a very religious, God-fearing person, why wouldn't you want to
absolutely
see, you know?
That's true.
You know,
go ahead, please.
A lot of people do believe in natural remedies, and you know, as conservative as religious as you might be, a lot of that is rooted in like this in the idea of faith and the concept that something natural can actually cure.
Yeah, people. From Earth.
So in fact, they may be realizing that it is a beneficial thing in that regard.
Yeah, right? That's an interesting way to look at it. I didn't think about it.
I mean, I just think that if you like, no matter what, if there's a way to help somebody, why wouldn't you want to fight to do that?
Well, that was the story that we talked about like a month or so ago when Teddy was here, about the mother in Pittsburgh, where in that state it is illegal, and the mother was like,
I'm not on the news.
She's like, I'm not going to let a law stop me from treating my daughter. My daughter's gone from having a shitload of seizures
like 100
a week
a day.
To like
2
a week.
Yeah.
So I don't give a fuck about your laws. I'm going to do what I want.
That's like my favorite phrase ever.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about your laws. She basically said that on the news.
Yeah, no law's going to stop me. That's it.
I mean, this is a question. You've toured a bit as a musician.
Sure, yeah.
What is the – I mean, I'm not going to say that maybe you kind of had some stuff on you when you were driving. What's the scariest state to drive through?
Well, on tour, there's a couple of checkpoints throughout the country that you prepare for. You make sure you smoke all of your weed or eat all of your edibles before you get to these checkpoints.
You know, or shove it up the
keister. Do what you got to do. Hopefully it doesn't absorb into your skin and then you're just like sick for the rest of the time. But, you know, Texas is a very – along their borders, a lot of famous musicians have been, discriminated against, you know, and then therefore caught.
If they pull you over, they see a bunch of instruments in your car, do they immediately assume that you guys are carrying marijuana on you?
No, they see plenty of bands come through. They're not going to waste their time and our tax dollars money checking our van every time. They recognize that we're musicians, we're on the road. If we roll up to the border and we're like, hey man, like we're just trying to get on to our next show, man. They're going to maybe check in on you I mean, just take every responsible precaution necessary and treat every, you know, as the same way I would treat an officer if I was getting pulled over for a ticket. Like I wouldn't talk back. I wouldn't, you know, try to, you know, make something up to – always be honest, really. Don't tell them you have pounds of marijuana in the back of your
– that's the honest thing. The honest thing is I have 5 pounds of marijuana. Don't lead with that.
It's like, I'm sorry, do you plan to sell these drugs? is it for personal use? Because I've actually had a guy at a checkpoint ask me, is that for personal use? And I said, yes. And he's like, okay, good. We're looking for smugglers anyway, so –
wow.
You know, actually, okay. That's a really interesting story. Like,
Don't you say interesting story and then not tell it. Come on, let's go. Come on. Don't you lead
with
that.
Well, it does have to do with music, so I guess it's relevant too. Basically, like, I was down in San Diego doing a show. We were finishing up our tour, and on the way back up, there's the checkpoint that's around
right outside of Oceanside, right when you pass the Marine Base.
Yeah, exactly.
The one with the signs, nuclear reactors, the family running across.
Yes, that exact same one.
Caution, family running from caution. Nuclear explosion.
Caution, family crossing.
Some of those are my favorite.
Caution, mother dragging her two children while they're flying through the air.
They're not actually touching the ground.
They're just flopping through the air behind her, too.
Dragging their children to a better life.
It's just across the street.
In what looks unwillingly, those children are like, I don't want to have capitalism, god damn it. Like, I don't know what the heck's going on in that picture.
Well, are they running to or from capitalism? I think
they're running to America, I believe, is what the picture is supposed to be described. But anyways, we tangent.
Speaking of borders. So driving up from San Diego, right there by the Marine base, they have a checkpoint. It's like an agricultural check base. So, you know, it's basically they'll screen you as you go by.
Yeah.
And usually it's fine. Like, you know, I'll just like cruise through and whatever. So,
and I go on tour in San Diego all the time. I know that checkpoint very well.
Okay, right? So, you know, and coming up from San Diego all the way to LA late at night, I just finished a show. I'm like, I'm a little, you know, I've had a couple drinks at the show, adrenaline. And I've got, you know, I've got my pipe in the front seat of the car with me. I'm smoking it.
Yeah, whatever.
But so I pull up and there's like more cars than usual, like packed into the checkpoint. They're like looking a bit closer at the people driving by.
Uh-oh.
And they've got dogs.
Oh,
shit. It's my first dog experience. My canine.
I've been there only once when they had the dogs there.
Right. And so hopefully your car didn't smell like weed. Well, no, mine did.
Did it bark at the weed?
Yeah, it jumped on my car and it barked. It was scratching.
That's an interesting thing because I'd heard a story. Now, I don't know if this is urban legend or not, but there had been a story that in California, they teach the dogs to kind of sort of try and ignore marijuana because of the fact that even though federally it's illegal, state-wise it is legal, so they still have to turn you over to state authorities, so it's kind of not worth the problem. They try and not have them too, unless it's a large amount of marijuana, usually they're trained not to bark.
Right. So, but at least was enough for him to react to my car, jump on it, bark once, right? It's whatever. They see that and they're like, sir, our dog was attracted to your car. Do you mind pulling over to the side of the road? It's like, okay.
Oh, shit.
So one officer comes up to me and he looks through the window and he, you know, he smells the car and he's like, it smells a little bit like weed here. And so I was like, yeah. And I point to the dash where my pipe is sitting. I'm like, that's my pipe right there. That's my pipe. You see right there, sir? Yep, indeed. So
there's the culprit. It wasn't me. It was the pipe that smelled like weed. It wasn't me, officer. It's the pipe right there. Do you see
that,
it?
That because smells, it's sir. That's, right that's not my breath.
In fact, the pipe had a few drinks tonight. I'm giving him a ride home. I'm sorry.
D over here.
I'm sorry about this.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. So I'm like, the point is being honest about it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I always look a cop straight in the eye and I'm like, and I've gotten out of this, like, you know, multiple times. Like, an officer will say to me, he's like, where are you coming from? Where are you going? You know, this is where I'm coming from. This is where I'm going. Have you had drinks tonight? I say, yes, officer, I had two drinks tonight. You know, maybe that's a white lie. But
I mean, if you put all of them into a really big glass, you had two drinks. You know?
And it was like, listen, brother, it's been like 7 hours since I started drinking. No, I mean, like, then he's going to be like, I'm sorry, how much have you had to drink? but really, you just look him in the eye and you know, so he asks me, he's like, do you have a license? Do you have a marijuana license? And I say, yes, I do, because I did. So I pull it out and he's like, can I see that? It's showing. And he's like, all right, well, you know, do you mind stepping out of the car? Like, you know, we're just going to like take a look in your car. And I'm like, sure. Yeah, I get out of the car and walk over to the little, like, it's like a half of a bench.
Yeah, they have a little,
they're
a little
like,
sitting
just sit here. And you're like, right up on the edge of the, you're like, it's just like a curve.
One cheek on, one cheek off.
So I'm sitting there and like the same officer who came to my car continues talking to me while I'm sitting down and another officer goes and checks out my car. And So he's looking through my gear, my musical gear, and you know, the dude's asking me, he's like, oh, so you're a musician? I was like, yeah, I just came from a show. Like, I was just playing. He's like, oh, yeah, how was it? He's like really curious about how my show was. I'm like, dude, you don't care how my show was. But he's like trying to get a vibe for me, like to see if I happen to.
He's trying to get you to offer up information.
Right,
like,
yeah. Right.
Like a police officer.
It's a terrible set. I had to get ripped as fuck to get over it, man.
Yeah, man. And you know, on my way, I ran into these guys who like just like gave me all this fucking marijuana. I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's cool to drive when you shot smack in your veins, right?
Right. You know, and like, you know, not to mention the blocks of heroin. And, you know, basically, no, that's not true.
I taped a kilo of Colombian Bam Bam under your car. You have a choice, son.
So I smoke weed, but I've never done heroin. So
yeah, thank God.
Anyway, so the other guy's looking through my car and he's like, oh, my God. The guy who's like checking my car out. And I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah, that's not something you want to hear from a dude checking your car. You're like, oh, my God. You're like, oh, my God, what? What?
And he starts laughing. He's like, ha, 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 ha. Check this out, Barry, whoever the guy's cop name is.
Hey, Steve, you got to see this one.
Yo, Joey, come over, look at this. You got to check this out. What? You'll never believe this.
It's like
a blow up doll. It's like, no, not really.
So what it is was
a bag of Glad trash bags. I had a bag of rolled up Glad trash bags. It was like we, you know, from our apartment, we had just moved the apartment from Westwood, Kate and I, from our apartment to my parents' house. And I left that in the car. And the guy's laughing about this. He's like, check this out, Barry. He shows him the box of trash bags. And I was like, what's funny? And so apparently a few days prior, they totally busted a guy for smuggling cocaine in a bag or box with bags of Glad. and he says, no way, two times in one week, we're going to bust a guy with a Glad trash bag box filled with cocaine. So he's like, so I'm like, oh, my God, dude, officer, that's not me. I'm not that guy. Like, I would never do such a thing. And, you know, I had to, like, talk my way out of it a little bit. But he's like, okay, it's fine. You know, this, like, you know, obviously, like, that's too much of a coincidence.
He opens it up. He's like, oh, there's trash bags in here. I guess I was, yeah. Easy to prove.
I.e. cocaine.
Easy to prove innocence, at least in this case.
Right. I was like, odds are, but officer, like, you know, right? Kind of go, right? You play the lottery, right?
I still will always remember. This was one of the scariest moments in my life. I was leaving my apartment. I was going to a writing session, and I'd had a little bit to smoke. I'd had a beer before I left because I didn't know I was going to be going out. And all of a sudden, before the freeway entrance, leaving my – in Woodland Hills. It's like in the middle of nowhere. They got a DUI checkpoint set up. I'm like, oh, geez. I'm like, can't turn around and leave. Whatever. And I'm like, I think I'm cool. I'll be all right.
I can always tell when there's one because there's an obscene amount of traffic approaching.
Oh,
it.
No. This so this
flashing
was
lights above. Yeah, there, just take a side street.
I didn't know this was on a long
there's
stretch
an app
of
for that.
There was a long stretch of
there
one road.
There's a Twitter.
Okay, listen. I fucked up, okay?
You must have fucked up.
Dude, don't you have a smartphone?
So anyways,
you can get an alert.
I'm approaching it, and I'm like, I'll be cool. I'll be all right. And there's like six cars in front of me, and four of them, they pull the driver out and have them pull the car over, and I'm like, I'm fucked.
Odds are at this point
I'm pretty fucked.
And
they're waving him forward, and I'm preparing the speech that I'm gonna offer when he rolls in, like, how you doing tonight. And I'm like going like, oh, I'm doing very well. I'm heading out to a friend's to go riding. I'm like, I'm preparing the whole sentences that I'm gonna say to this guy. And I'm at the same time, I'm also going, yeah, I'm fucked. I'm done. I'm going to jail tonight. This is it. This is the night you go to jail, Alex.
That was the dog moment.
And
I was like, uh-oh.
This was real scary. And I get it. And finally, it's my turn. He pulls the car in front of me. He pulls the driver out of that car. And they drive his car over to the side. And he waves me up to his window. And I roll my window down. And I take the breath in to start my speech to him, and he holds his hand up to me to tell me to stop. And I stop, and he looks up down the road to another officer back there, and he goes, we done? All right, go ahead, sir. And just waves me on through, and they're like, they're done for the night. They're pulling up the cones. They're finished. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, okay, thank you.
The work whistle goes off, and they're like, all right. You know, like the opening to The Simpsons.
I did everything in my power not to burn rubber out of that fucking DUI.
And you probably probably changed your shorts immediately.
Oh my gosh, I was like, oh, I'm done. This is the night that I spend a night in jail. This was it. I was already seeing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, why he might have to change his shorts.
Whoa. Oh, hey yo, ladies and gentlemen, let's go. Zinga. The Zinga.
Are we ready?
Oh yeah, we're actually at the 420 mark. I'm going to take a quick rip. But do we want to you introduce the next story.
Wait, are we done with the first story?
No, we have stories.
I was saying we have
stories. However.
Oh, however.
However, I want some more background.
Oh gosh, I heard
there was like a fist fight when you guys were kids.
That kind of background. I was about to be like boo 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 boo. Sound effects.
This is one of your oldest friends, and
this is
my oldest friend. Like, why do we have to talk about that one?
Yeah, that is. We've known each other forever, and the fight story. Because it's the first story.
That's the first story.
Right. Yeah. I got a little background, and I was, you dove right in. After you introduced him, I didn't want to cut off the whole.
No. I'll get into.
You're supposed to tell that story like after I'm present when we've met, like not before. So, by the way, you're about to meet the guy who hit me the very first night.
No.
You don't start off.
It's always kind of the story that comes up because everyone always asks how do we meet. Me and Alex, we went to the same Hebrew preschool, Temple Beth Hillel
preschool. That's like one of your oldest friends right here.
Yeah, oldest friend.
Literally can't remember a year before preschool.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have.
What is that? Three?
I have about a year's worth of memories before I knew this guy.
So, year four, I have no recollection.
I remember small blips of preschool, but that's about it.
Right.
I don't remember a lot,
but it's always like the really defining. Like I said, I remember the story because it was a very defining moment for me, because I remember that this was, you know, the first time I met Alex. We were they had this playground in the Temple Beth Hillel part, in the preschool. It was a sandbox, and inside this sandbox area was this wooden trolley, like this almost full-size trolley car.
I was going to say they had like little bikes.
And all this that you can play on. But there was only
like four for like a total of 20 kids.
There was not enough trolleys.
Like, I want to ride on.
So me and Alex had apparently gotten into it over a tricycle that – both of us wanted to ride. I think Alex was bigger, so I didn't get to ride on it. So I went
I'm like 6'5", people. You can't see me.
That's a bike bell.
Yeah, so I went to the trolley. I went to the trolley to go play on the trolley. And I'm playing on the trolley. And then into the trolley comes Alex and these two other kids. And I'm like, this kid already took my tricycle. I'm like, this kid already took my tricycle. He is not taking the trolley car. This is my trolley car.
But I'm a big person.
Yeah. So I'm like, hey, I'm playing here. Here's the thing. I will admit I was the instigator here. I was totally like, I'm playing here. Get the hell off of here.
Proud.
And here's the thing. Alex was the ringleader. He was like, yo, surround him. And these kids like jump up on these seats and they're like getting around me, and Alex is coming right at the front, and I don't know what possessed me, because I've never really been in many fights, but I decided to deliver. At this point, I'd been in none. This is my first. We're four. I try and deliver a front kick to his chest, and
it's really high.
I miss wildly. Like, he kind of lunges his pelvis out to make sure I don't hit him, and because he's so obscenely taller than me,
and super slick,
just so quick. I can't even call it a punch. He kind of like little bunny foo-foo bopped me on top of the head, and I went down like a sack of potatoes. I just hit the mat. And the teachers came in and they broke it up. I'm like, yeah, what are you doing? And they called our parents into the
finish him.
And they called our parents into the office. And our parents, instead of just being boys will be boys, are like, we're going to set up a play date for these two. And honestly, that was the – I mean, we've certainly had disagreements as friends, but that is the last time we ever had a physical altercation.
I mean, everybody needs to understand that I am a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, oh, no. Like, his dad told me at his wedding that I'm the only person he's ever hit.
Well, I mean, right. That's why it shocks me. I didn't remember this story as much as Alex did. He, apparently, made a really good impression on you.
I forgot about it. It was important to me. I always remembered that was how we met. That was how I met my buddy Alex.
Must have blocked it out.
I have an old friend like that.
Just let bygones be bygones.
My mom's best friend since she was 12 has a daughter that's maybe 7-8 months older than me, and I remember we were all staying over my mom's house one night, and I don't know, we were tickle fighting or something, but I just remember this girl was on me, and I popped her in the face, and she was crying. I had to go get her ice, and we didn't want to tell my mom. She grew up to be the biggest girl, and she could kick everybody's ass, and ended up being my bodyguard. She's a good,
right.
She's a good friend to have on my, And I'm just thinking, I made you cry. I popped you in the face when I was little.
You made her respect you.
That's right.
She grew up to be way bigger than me.
You're gonna respect me.
And I would never talk shit to that girl. Actually, you know what? There was a little bit later where I remember she told me she had done something that wasn't healthy for her, and then I fucking smacked her in the face again, and she didn't hit me back because I started crying immediately after. I was like, I don't want to go into super detail.
No,
she did something that was not healthy for her, and I got pissed.
I feel like it goes to preface even saying though, this is one of the sweetest, kindest, most docile human beings that I have in my life. And it was very weird. I guess that's why the story always stuck out to me, was because our beginning was it was a fight that brought us together.
Uh-huh.
Because if we didn't get into a fight, our parents wouldn't have set up a play date between us.
Right.
And and that was the thing. He lived three blocks from where I grew up. Yeah. So it was the only place across a major street that I was allowed to bike ride. I was allowed to cross Whitsitt Boulevard, which was the only major street
between us.
So, and then I just take back alleys the entire way to your place because there was a back alleyway to get through. Yeah,
I used to love riding my bike on that back alley.
Oh, I love that. It was so much fun.
There's this little broken cement sidewalk part.
you can get a little air off of it.
You guys are Valley Boys.
Yeah,
we're Valley Boys.
In the San Fernando Valley.
But I would like to say that, every single person who's important to me in my life right now, I don't think it would be healthy if we hadn't had an argument at one point or another. Talk something through and made.
I even remember saying to your dad, I love that I was the only, no matter what it is, even though it was before we really knew each other, the fact that I was the only person who was able to impassion you enough to that level of rage, I'm like, you know what? I take some pride in that.
Again, a lover, not a fight.
They say, you're not that good of friends if you haven't been in a fist fight.
Yeah,
you kind of have to put each other in their place at some point.
Sometimes you have to check fools.
There's a comedian. There's a comedian who I go on the road with a lot.
Gotta check fools sometimes.
Sometimes
there's a comedian I go on the road with a lot, Justin Ruppel, who you know very well. I don't know if you've ever met him before,
good
Alex.
Dude, for sure,
very good dude. Mm-hmm. But me and him actually got into a very heated religious debate. Once in it, which, by the way, religion, terrible thing
classic
to talk about when on the road, but it kind of,
yeah, with alcohol, it kind of
came,
like
it came,
sherry,
it came
close
up,
quarters, you know,
yeah, it came up, and we had a very heated debate, and it kind of turned into a little bit of an argument. And I honestly, it was the first time that me and him had ever kind of really had it out about anything. We have not been we've been closer friends ever since. No, we've never been closer than we were after that fight, that we were able to go, okay, we can have that debate. We can actually impassion ourselves.
Every step you get
and
closer
then step
to understanding
back and go,
someone's
but I love this person, even though I don't agree with this point of view. I still love this
person.
That's
perfectly fine and great.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a very freeing, amazing thing to experience as a person when you can yell at someone and go, I'm yelling at you because I love you. I don't like this opinion, and I wish that it would change, which is why I'm so passionate about wanting to change it. That's kind of what an argument is. That's why you don't argue with people you don't like, because you don't care to change their opinion. You don't like them. Stay how they are.
That's a really interesting point.
Yeah, that's at least my opinion. I always say I haven't gotten to an argument with someone I don't like in a very long time for exactly that reason. If I don't like you, well, what's the point of trying to change an opinion of yours?
Well, because sometimes they're a different kind of challenge.
I've learned that about you. You sometimes like the challenge. Like, I'm going to fucking make you like
it. I will talk to anyone. I'm like classic. I will try to change you. Fix you. But not for the worse, you know, I hope. Anyway, you pick your battles, I guess, is the point of the story.
Well, you see people for their potential.
Yeah, I can understand that.
You know, I'm friends with people who don't smoke pot.
Oh, yeah, me too. Well,
that's cool.
But you know what? I'll get stoned, and then I will try to pass it to them. You know, they're totally cool. Do you do the same thing too?
Well, right. No, of course. I'll do by accident, really. Just
by accident.
Because rotation.
Oh, no. My
don't fuck up the rotation.
Exactly. Like,
my roommate.
And just be generous and offer it.
No, my roommate, like, habitually, he's not a smoker. He prefers to drink. And I'll always I hit it, and out of instinct, I offer it to him, and he will just kind of look at me. He's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry."
That's how I know.
And I always tell him, like, "I'm sorry." And he doesn't understand when I say, "I'm like, I'm sorry." It's instinct. It really is. As a smoker, the instinct is to be like,
"Oh,
your turn."
But that's how I know that I've had enough to smoke, because when I turn and try to pass it to the person that I know does not smoke.
Wait, who are you?
And then they look at me and they're like,
"Where are you
know
from, man?
What's your name, baby?
What's your name, girl?" And then
you want to hit this? Okay, baby, that's cool.
And I'm like, I think that I don't need any more. I think I gotta put this down. It's like next thing you know,
the video on YouTube of all those old women, you know, or Facebook. It was like, you know, all the older women like smoking pot together, the four ladies, the grandmas.
I love that one.
You know,
yeah. I did like
that. Your voice sounded like that at that point. You were like, I'm just gonna set this down.
I liked the bong. I think I liked the bong better. I remember one of the grandmas was really fascinated with the bong.
She was like, "Look at this.
What is this? This is amazing." Oh, gosh. Okay.
Somebody blew this?
Now I have to force fuck us back onto topic. All right. So we did have a little bit of the the rated dispensary in Alaska. We kind of touched on it a bit last week, but apparently the dispensary there rated in Alaska just after legalization was owned by the reporter who said, "Fuck it, I quit."
She bounced from the network and she was like, "This is what I do now."
I remember she dropped an F-bomb on live TV. It was just amazing.
What was that called? What her like organization? The I quit.
The fuck it, I quit. She's the,
manifesto.
I mentioned it the other day when we recorded before that we were. All these businesses are going to Canada because they don't want to deal with
freedom.
It's like, hey, they passed it.
Freedom and democracy, you think about Canada now, apparently.
Right.
They passed it. It's recreational.
I quit. I'm moving to Canada.
She announces it on TV that it went recreational, and she's like, you know what? This is what fuck. Fuck this shit. I'm out.
Right.
Fuck you.
Drop
fuck
the mic.
You. Fuck you. You're cool.
Fuck you. I quit.
Funyuns
and
who's coming with me? Jan.
Yes, Jan.
Oh my God, it's perfect.
But
was the other quote was that they were gonna sue the shit out of the city because they. I mean, unless they've. They're fucking with people. Oh, what is that?
I was saving this
freedom,
once we were starting our last discussion, I was saving it. We have a perennial gave us an indica joint of something called A-Dub that they said was really good that they wanted
Thank
us to check.
From Perennial?
So from Perennial Holistics, right down the street from here. Not down, but on the corner of Ventura and Tujunga. Colfax.
Sure. Yeah, like up there.
There's a little shopping center there.
That area is real nice over there.
Yeah, right? it's Studio City. It's kind of, you know, it's a classy.
Yeah.
They've won best dispensary in the Valley 3 years in a row, which is you know, kind of a from one of those, you know, distinguished ass fucking things. I'm
like,
sure.
what they won what?
They got some awards in there.
Is it like from a magazine or from?
It's the place that Sam Hamid.
I know Perennial definitely, and they won best. Is it the?
Don't ask me.
LA Gem, maybe.
Yes, yes.
Look
thank
at
you.
That.
Oh gosh. It's only because the award is a big giant plastic gem. Yeah.
I mean, it could be an acrylic. No, you're right, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure it's kind of some kind of poured resin. I'm sure it is.
Did you say resin?
Yes, I did say resin. Yeah.
I'll get the hot knife.
Hey, every once in a while.
I'm very pleased to say that I have not been that desperate in a really long time. And I had a lovely, lovely roommate that she didn't care. She'd smoke roaches. So I used to collect them for her because I would throw them away, but I saw that she appreciated them. But then she would take them and smoke them out of my bong. So then I had to turn around and buy her her own bong so that she could smoke my roaches out of her own bong. Just because, you know, it's like, you know.
I've told Sydney.
She's still, after you got her the bong, did she still keep smoking in your bong?
No, really connected. I got her own piece. And nice.
I told Sydney that I knew stoked. That she was, that I'd have to marry her because, I jokingly said, I was like, you've been with me since I had to buy $50 stress ounces.
Ooh.
And just separate seeds and stems. I still know people with money who do that anyway
because they just like love what because
they're
joints,
fucking nostalgic. You know? Jesus, why would you
have?
Well,
no, you know, and it's economical.
It's economical. And, yeah, it's, you know what? So it's true. Not. There was just an article that was saying how it's more potent than ever. It's like, it's not. What is it? It's not your grandma's.
I used to say,
yeah,
dude, like outdoors in Boston. You know, like when I was in Boston, like
I'm from Boston.
Oh, yeah, well, we haven't gotten sober background, by the way.
This man went to the Boston Conservatory of Music.
That's not true.
Oh no, sorry, I'm Jesus.
So Northeastern. I went to Northeastern University.
Yeah, that's right. Fuck,
right there on Huntington.
I used to live above Boston Shawarma.
No.
Right across the street from the YMCA.
Yep. That's crazy. I used to go there all the time.
That was my first apartment. Once upon a time.
Oh my, god damn.
Yeah.
No, I lived over on Hemingway, like right around the corner from
Hemingway's nice.
Is it?
It was right by the campus.
Yeah, it's like a 2 blocks away.
How long were you in Boston for?
Symphony Hall.
Well, that was where my dorm was. And then I lived on Queensbury, actually, is what I meant to say. I lived on Hemingway first when I was in the dorm.
I am very familiar.
Queensbury. All right, right off of Park Drive in the Fens.
How long were you in Boston for?
The Fens.
I was there for 2 years, 2004 to 2006. My very first year there, I saw the...
You got to see the comeback.
I didn't see, though, the win that happened in New York, Yankee Stadium.
You didn't see that?
Game 7 World Series. No, I saw the game. But... It wasn't in Boston at the Fenway Park.
No, it was in...
So we all flocked from everywhere. Like, everybody went to Fenway, the Green Monster. Like, yeah. Everybody, like, went to the city to, like, climb all over the stadium.
So we all got, you know,
it was like my freshman year of college. It's like new crazy experience in general. I'm from L.A., you know, like, born and raised here on the West Coast. And then road trip out that way.
And then those fucking knuckleheads. Those fucking knuckleheads not knowing, like, they're like, I've never seen this happen before, so let's just flip cars and set shit on fire. Dude,
I carried a lamp pole.
Oh, you were part of the problem, huh? You were part of the problem.
I climbed on the Green Monster.
This is a great story, too.
So, like, okay, honestly, I'm stone drunk on Adderall. Because somebody said this was a good idea.
Fuel to the fire. Hey, Adderall and college go hand in hand.
Right. No, I actually succeeded in passing classes due to Adderall throughout the night. But really just like excited and like in the moment, right? And I go over in the crowd, like over by the Green Monster, there's one dude over like by one of the posts, like lifting people up onto the rafters.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And I said, Is that Vinny? This dude lived across the street from our house. He was like I was in the dorms. He was the first person I knew with an apartment. You know, roommates with Matthew Four, also just got married and, you know, very, very chill dude. So we used to go to his place, his roommate Vinny, the guy lifting people up onto the fucking rafters. Vinny's like classic, like just like round, rotund Italian badass. Like he's probably in the mafia.
No it's shit, like Vinny. Name
coincidence,
Vinny Italian?
Or, right? Am I right? So I'm like, Vinny, get me up there, man. So a couple of us, like, you know, hopped up onto the rafters. We watched it from, like, you know, we watched all the people, like, swarm from, you know, the
Had to be an amazing sight.
It was an amazing experience.
I mean, I still remember.
I watched that from San Francisco. I lived in San Francisco when that happened.
Oh, so we crossed lines, and she's watching, and she's like, all the fucking people flipping cars and shit. They're just causing mayhem over there. Just mad, crazy mayhem.
I'm watching it on TV going, you motherfucker.
Yeah, sorry about it.
I was actually.
Yeah, you're not even you fucking Cali. You're Cali troublemaker, is what you are.
Yo, I got mad respect for the East Coast. All right, Northeast is legit.
I love
Boston. It's literally one of my favorite cities.
Are we all Red Sox fans then?
Are you a Red Sox fan?
Yeah,
I'm a Red Sox fan.
I always thought you were a Mets fan.
No, I'm a Dodgers
or a Giants.
No, I'm a Dodgers fan. But here's the thing: my mom and my dad. My mom's from Boston. My dad's from New York. So each of them were like, you have to root for one of our teams. I'm a Dodger fan first and foremost.
LA.
But because they're a National League team, my mom was like, well, your American League team is going to be the Red Sox. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm a Red Sox fair fan. Enough. My dad made me a New York Jets fan. Now, if you do the math, I could have been a Patriots Yankee fan, been a much happier human being, but I'm not. I am a Jets Red Sox fan. It's been a good past few years for the Red Sox, but for the Jets, I am a miserable
fan. The passion and the underdog is always like the spirit of the sport.
That is the nicest thing you could say to someone who roots for a habitually losing team. So thank you. I appreciate that very much.
I understand.
That is a nice thing of you to say.
I feel sentimental.
You win some,
empathetic,
lose some.
You know.
That's awesome.
So anyway, from Boston, I'm from LA. We were talking about something before that brought all this stuff up. Oh, outdoor marijuana from the East Coast. Okay, like, you know, we used to have your stress or like your street weed. No, remember like buying weed on the street, like, you know, now Cali and like all these other places are getting like, you know, certified to, you know, and laws are passing to allow them to sell money making marijuana. Because that's what we were talking about earlier, by the way, people trying to profit off of the potentness of it. And, you know, and back in the day, because I feel real old right now, but, you know, we would smoke it and we'd be like, and I would at least think like, you know, weed's just weed, right? You know, it's still weed, still gets you high, because what we were talking about is whether or not it actually had an effect or like, you know, at least what grades do justice or not? Where were we talking?
It's an interesting segue.
About how potent it is.
Well, that's all kind of an interesting segue into the, you know, the big kind of opinion discussion that I wanted to have, which was weed and entertainment. You know, we have this stigma about us as entertainers, me and April as comedians, you as a musician, that we're all, you know, at the very least smoking weed or doing open to all kinds of,
I mean, alcohol,
you know,
is still
drugs,
like
alcohol,
inappropriate, and you know, what's the word? I mean, something, another vice or another inebriation that really lends itself to creativity sometimes in some circles, or
certainly
otherwise, you know, it could go either way.
Well, that, you know, that's kind of the interesting part of the discussion that I wanted to have, where I, you know, because thinking about it even for myself, I know I've gotten on stage having not had drinks, and I know, but I've never got on stage not smoking. I mean, I don't go a day in my life without smoking. It's an everyday activity for me.
That's an interesting question. Do you remember the last time you hadn't smoked weed in a day? Because like for me, it's years.
I do remember when me and Sydney had first gotten together, because she wasn't as heavy a smoker as I was. Now she's actually just as heavy a smoker as I am.
Yeah.
And April, train it over to me.
Rotation.
We're passing this joint around.
Oh, yeah.
Sydney was now Sydney's just as heavy a smoker as me. But she had asked if I could not smoke for a while. She was like, it's not that I don't like your smoking. I'm just wondering if you're addicted. And I said, I'm not addicted. I can quit it if I don't want to. She's like, okay, try not smoking for a week. I'm like, okay. And 3 days in, she was like, okay, you need to sit down and smoke. I was like, why? She's like, because you, and here's the thing. I wasn't even being an asshole. It wasn't any of that. She would tell me to do something. I go, okay. And then I would fuck off because I'm so just spacey. I couldn't sit down and concentrate to do it. I was useless for 3 days of not smoking. And she's like, never, if you stop smoking, I'll leave you. I was like, okay, cool. That's a simple request for me to uphold.
Well, it's interesting how it comes around like that because, I mean, it becomes the type of person that you are. And if, like, you've succeeded as the person you are and, like, yeah, dude, like, you know, had some successes in your life and it was like, yeah, I've been smoking entire time, like, still did good doing it. You know, it's like, you can still, you know, feel like.
Well, that's an interesting question, though, is, you know.
And centered, I guess.
Why is it that we tend to, maybe you can answer, why is it that comedians and musicians are the ones who tend to be the ones who are more comfortable drinking and smoking more often?
Well, and it's also, I think, like manic depressive temperament. You know, manic depression and the artistic temperament is like.
Oh, good.
They're hand in hand. It's like you. Everybody
I
mean, has
I totally
a way
agree
of
with you.
Looking to self-medicate. I don't really like to.
It's an interesting term. I've heard that term a lot. Self-medicate. It's an interesting
I prefer to be clear when I perform. For one, if I was to sing, I wouldn't smoke all day. I wouldn't because it clogs my throat
sinuses.
And my sinuses. You know, it's just lemon water and honey and all that
throat
stuff.
Throat coat.
Yeah, throat coat. But and also performing on stage, doing comedy, I'm faster.
It's about being clear-headed and witty.
I prefer to be clear, but I definitely would like to smoke before I go to bed. And when I'm around my mom, she doesn't smoke. She knows what I do. She knows the industry I'm in. She's very cool. Like sometimes she'll come to visit me for a week, and I'll just look to her and say, Mom, I need to have a moment. And she's like, okay, go have your moment. Because she knows, like, I'm a little stressed out. I need to go get high. That's what that means. But, like, that's not every day. And when my mom goes back to the East Coast, then I have no tolerance because I barely smoked while she was here. And I'm fine.
You're pretty open with your family about smoking.
And then you get them, those East Coast outdoors. Like, Vermont weed is very.
How open are you with your parents about your smoking?
I was actually going to mention something like that. I mean, my parents, I mean, they've known it for years, right? Like, and it was always just like, you know, Jew judgment, you know, the guilt.
Yeah, the cross arms and the judgment and all that stuff.
Yeah, but my mom used to smoke pot, and, you know, back in the 70s. And, like, my dad didn't. So my mom's totally like chill about it. She's the only person else like really smoke cigarettes in front of too. Like she's always just like she understands. They used to smoke cigarettes too. Yeah. You know, it's like, and you know, but like my, you know, my so my dad doesn't smoke, but my dad drinks. Right? I mean, he's been in the alcohol industry for 20 plus years. Yeah. Like he's you know like a representative for Southern Wine, and you know that's his vice. And if that's what we're talking about, where everybody who's like happens to be intelligent and creative, they all have a vice that it's part of this manic depressive nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's of course, but it's also just because life is hard.
Well, it's the interesting one of the
it's your coping skills.
It's, you know,
one of the
you know,
nice
sometimes you have like outside coping skills. They're not they don't reside within you.
Maybe
you have
you go to the
to
gym
have
or
something
to
help.
I'm right. someone who hasn't really had much of a conversation with my family about marijuana, but one of the few ones that I have had with my dad. One of the best things that my dad ever said to me, I don't even know if he'd remember saying it to me, but he said, Alex, if the two worst things that you do in your life are smoke weed and say fuck a lot, I think I did a pretty good job as a dad.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what?
Neil Mandelberg.
You know what? You're damn right you did. If the two worst things
right
that
there.
I do are smoke weed and say fuck an exorbitant amount of times in a day, because I will admit, I wish I didn't, but I have that bad tendency to kind of just sailor mouth, and especially on stage, it's kind of always been my big struggle. Is the people who know me best, the comedians who know me best, know that my nervous tick is I'll never show that I'm nervous to the audience. I'm very good at hiding that, even though I'm sick to my stomach every time I get on stage.
I think you giggle a little bit.
No, you know what it is? my tell for me being nervous is I start swearing like a sailor. I start letting
it's the fillers. It's the fucking
it's the whole thing where when Justin Ruppel has always said, he's like, you'll stick fuck in as a comma.
Yeah.
You'll just like that.
That's fucking
fuck is your punctuation on a word. And sometimes he goes like, fuck is sometimes even like a dash connecting two
it's
words,
an
like
adjective, represent a verb, fuckentation. And same sentence.
One who can master the poetic fuck integration.
I did one time in a show use the word represent fuckentation, which is my yes. favorite insert of fuck into a word that I think of ever.
Yeah, it reinforces that like multisyllabic word like so right in the face. It's like,
oh, that's awesome. So for me, I guess I went through my partying stage as a teenager. My mom knew what I was always like overly honest with my mom to the point where she'd be like, I don't know if you should tell. I'd be like, Mom, I was at the party and this is the people were doing this. She'd be like,
me too. My mom was like my confidant.
I don't know if you should, please just, why don't you just not tell me all that stuff? So then
wait, I'm curious. Like, your mom was your confidant?
College,
like what?
No. In college, I was, you know, I was taking Adderall for ADD studying. And I was, you know, I.
Or charging Fenway Park.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And also, I, you know, but my mom never put me on that stuff when I was growing up. And everybody else used to go at lunchtime to go take, you know, take their second dose of their uppers. Mm. And,
oh, you didn't?
You know, I didn't. I totally should have. She just exhausted me in extracurricular activities.
Because that's better for
but
you.
But later when I took anxiety medicine and pills. I took Adderall, I took all these different synthetic drugs. And when I moved to California, I got a medical marijuana card and I never refilled any prescription for a synthetic drug again. I've even been into a few car accidents.
Absolutely.
And I've never taken an opiate painkiller for it. I use topical and internal cannabis. That's
which brings us back to
so
that
my mom
like,
is
natural
so accepting
remedy.
Of that. Yeah. Because back home in Massachusetts,
it's true.
I really like that full circle.
That is a full circle. That is a full circle.
Everybody's on heroin and addicted to opiates back on the East Coast. It's so bad, and it's so easy just to like, oh, I fucking hurt my ankle. Give me some perks.
Yeah,
no, listen.
Oh,
it's the worst.
You know.
I the other day I was with a friend. This is a man I've known for a long, long, long time since I was a kid, and he had some back surgery in the 90s when you know fusion surgery was kind of a new thing. And because of that, this man has been on painkiller, like Vicodin level opiates since the 90s. And I love this man. But there's a look in his face that I'm like, gosh, it's like you look at him and it looks like the lights are on and nobody's home.
Yeah.
And
you know,
I've never seen that look in the face of somebody who smoked weed for an extended period.
I've seen like the ultimate stoner face. Well, where it's like, do you smoke like eighths a day? Like, slow the fuck down on that. It's like you're no longer using this for like a natural remedy.
Well, that is fair.
It's
that
like,
is
it's
fair.
Like, do you use it as like a helpful remedy for your to curb like
well that's
you know,
the big
life.
Question do
like
you feel like
doing
do
dabs you, and fishing out
burning like, fucking spoons
well,
like,
well then before we
resin.
End before we end two-part question for everybody for everyone to answer is how does
we're done almost
how does yeah I know it's
there's so much more to talk
we
about.
we might do a little bonus time we might we've always talked about doing some bonus time
well maybe we'll take a short break play that intro
yeah
again,
exactly
that was a really funny intro
so
by the way, you guys.
Two-part question does marijuana help you creatively? Does marijuana help
I'm glad we at least had to ask that question at least.
Does marijuana help you creatively? Does marijuana help your personal life?
Wait, do you have like 20 more minutes?
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Give us a quick answer now, and we'll you can give us an extended answer in bonus time. How's that?
All right. Well, coming up on bonus time, can I link
this? So yeah.
So I guess weed has struck me in phases throughout my life. It's been years. I mean, think about it. Like I started smoking weed when I was 15. I'm 28. So 13 years, and we think about that time. It's like, we remember the last time you weren't high, you know? So, and like I said, like I've accomplished, like, you know, a lot, still being stoned, like most of the time. So sometimes I'll have waves of inspiration, but is it because I smoke weed? Sometimes. But, you know, but really like, you know, whatever combination of like the mood that strikes me throughout life and what I do, because I also drink. So it's like when you're blending those things too, does it help you creatively? It goes in waves.
Sometimes
it brings you through like thoughts.
Sometimes it makes those. I will admit, as someone who will drink and smoke sometimes together, sometimes it will make the mind very loud. But also sometimes it'll allow you to choose which voices you want to hear in your mind. You know, you'll hear a voice and go, "Oh, I like that one. Let me grab onto it."
Sure. But so that really stopped happening for me. Sometimes, like, you know, I remember back in the day, like, it would, like, take over me, like, way more. But, you know, now it really just distracts me sometimes. And sometimes I'm just like, ooh, like, and I can't, and I lose focus. Because that'll happen to me. But certain kinds of weed are different for me in that process. Like, there's sativas and indicas. Yeah. So, like, how does it really strike you? And so, you know, with all the options, it's like, it's so inconsistent sometimes. I can't, like, you know, I love Blue Dream. Like, Blue Dream does me real good, right?
Yeah.
So
they call that the accountant's weed.
Well, I'm a mathematical mind, so.
Well, there you go.
It's a good day weed.
It's a good day weed.
So I'm at the studio during the day a lot. Like, I'll go there and I'll spend hours at the studio. So, you know, I either smoke or you don't, depending on how much focus you want to have. Anyway, so.
What about in your personal life?
My personal life, I've dated certain people in the past where it's made it very difficult to be a weed smoker. I'm recently married now, and Kate's wicked cool.
You just said wicked cool.
Mad respect for the East Coast. I wasn't joking.
But you've told me she's not a smoker, really.
She's not really a smoker, but I wish she would be sometimes.
Okay.
Because really, going back to the natural remedy.
I would love to have you guys back and have you guys together on the show. That'd be fun.
You know, she's cool about it. You never know. Someday she might let you. Because my good friend, she had quit for a little while and then. She just decided she wanted to smoke again, and now she's got her new husband. He smoked a couple times with her, and I'm very excited about that because I think that he's already cool. I think it improves life. Yeah. I think it makes you cope with certain things, but then also it can be a distraction. But
yeah, it can be. So as we wrap up,
everything in moderation. Oh, right?
As we wrap up, so what do you got? You said you had a show coming up next month, didn't you, Alex?
Yeah, we good on time. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
really,
go ahead. Let us know where is that.
That was then. Speaking of the marriage, my brother-in-law's in that band with
me,
and yeah, we're going to be playing there April 23rd.
That was then, which is one word by the way. That was then.
Yeah, so yeah, rock and roll, basically like the greatest music ever.
Yeah, listen, I have been to several different bands that this man has been in, and every single one of them has been pretty awesome. I'm gonna actually try and make it out to this one. Hopefully, it's gonna be at the Viper Room here in Los Angeles on April 23rd. Yeah. That was then.
Check it out. That was then. Music.com.
April, what you got going on?
Sunday. March 29th, I'm hosting at the UBG.
There we go.
Yeah.
Check Sunday, March
29th. Universal Bar and Grill in Lancashire.
There we go. And I'm hoping you can check me out over on Riffopolis.com doing the Cold World of Sports with Teddy Tutson. I'm going to be up in Portland this week. By the time you guys hear this, I'll only have a few more shows left up in Portland, but I'll be up in Portland performing for those wonderful people up there. I'll be hosting for you guys for a weekend up at Harvey's. Thank you guys so much for listening to us. For April O'Connor, Alex Schneiderman, I'm Alex Mandelberg. Thank you guys for listening.
Diving.
Crab diving.